Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In this episode, we're going to look at taking the emotions out of your property buying strategy. It's actually a really difficult thing to do, and sometimes we don't even know that we're being driven by emotions. That can be really dangerous because it promotes something called confirmation bias, where our emotions are driving the bus and pushing us to make decisions that we think are logical. Let's backtrack a little bit though and explore why this happens, because if we understand what's going on in our head, we have a far better chance of controlling it. So as we evolved as human beings and climbed out of the primordial slime, we had just an unconscious and a subconscious brain. So that was really good for things that we didn't even have to think about, things like breathing in and out that just happened. And our subconscious brain separated us from other animals and made us higher up on the evolution scale. So what that meant was that we could remember things and ultimately we could be driven by emotions. So if something bad happened to you, you would store that in a memory bank and you'd associate that with negative emotions. The thing is that was carefully calibrated for our survival. So think about it, we're the offspring of the human beings or the cavemen who survived. And they did that by being really risk averse and acting on negative emotions like fear. So if they ate a poisonous berry, they knew that they could die from that. They would store that with very strong negative emotions in their data bank of memories. Positive emotions, maybe not so much because it wasn't a threat to survival. So what that means is sometimes we have deep fear associated with things. Now, couple of hundred million years later on, our logical or rational brain evolved. But that's a newcomer. That really only controls about 10% of our actions. What controls 90% of what we do is that subconscious emotional brain. So we can understand things logically. However, we're driven by emotion. So logically, we know we should eat well. We know we should go to the gym. All the good habits, all the positive things on a rational level, we understand. So why do we find it so hard to do them? And why do all the negative emotions and all the things that are bad for us, why does that drive us? For example, we know we should eat well and choose an apple over a slice of chocolate cake. We understand that rationally what we should do, but we do what we feel like. So emotion again directs our course of action. I feel like the chocolate cake. I don't feel like the apple. And emotion wins. I once read a really good analogy or metaphor where they used what they called our subconscious brain, our emotional brain, is like a naughty chimpanzee. It does what it wants, it does what it feels like, it doesn't really think about consequences, which is why we sometimes make bad decisions, which is why we might have a fluorescent orange jumpsuit sitting in the back of our cupboard, or why we might eat a packet of Tim Tams, because it's instant gratification. However, we have a very, very clever professor in our brain as well, our logical brain. But the professor just cannot keep up with that naughty chimp. The chimp runs all over the place. He's really fast and actually knee-jerk responsive, whereas the professor has to think about things, process things, weigh up pros and cons. And by the time the professor has a rational, reasonable response, the chimp has already taken action. Too little, too late. So how does that transfer or translate into our property making decisions, property buying decisions? Same thing. We operate on emotion. Straight away we walk in and we go, I've got a good feel about this place. It feels nice. I really, really want it. How can I have it? Even though it may be beyond my price expectations, it may not tick any of the boxes that I had when I was sitting rationally at home analyzing the data and I formulated a plan of what I wanted to buy. That's why when we're at auction, we can run our numbers before an auction, but as a buyer at an auction, we tend to get caught up in the emotion of it and we think we'll worry about the consequences later. That's why when we're looking at properties that may be outside of our price range or our area of expertise or our knowledge, we will still justify decisions that defy our logic or our plan, our rational data. What we'll tend to do is say, well, this is a good suburb and this is a good place. Even though I was going to buy a studio apartment for an investment purpose and rent it out to a tenant, I've changed my mind now. I want to buy a four-bedroom house because it feels good and I love this house. So what we'll do then is we'll cook the books in our brain. We'll go and look for data to support an emotional decision. Happens all the time and is probably the most dangerous sort of decision making because it feels rational. So our brain will filter data to anything that supports our feeling or our emotion or what the chimp wants. So our brain will say, well, this area is a go-ahead area. Four-bedroom properties are really good and valuable, and then we'll go and find selective information to support the decision of what we want to buy. So when we understand that we have a chimp sometimes sabotaging logical decisions and a professor who has calculated it all and understands what they're doing, we have to learn to tame our chimp. How do we do that when it comes to property? We have to stick to the plan somehow. We have to keep reminding ourselves that we don't have to live in the property if it's an investment property, that we've done our research and our data, that it doesn't have to be an emotional decision or a property that we fall in love with, that we don't have to have it for instant gratification and pay too much, especially in this market, which is very much a buyer's market. We can afford to be patient. We can afford to sit back and let the professor run the numbers. We don't have to pay top dollar because the cheeky chimp feels like it. Sellers are becoming more and more motivated in this market as interest rates rise, and we find that offers that may have been rejected as too low, often they will come back through an agent or otherwise and ask if we're still there, if we're still looking, and are we negotiable. So stick to your logic. Back your logical brain, put your money on the professor, and never ever act under time duress because the chimp's telling you you feel like it or you want it on an emotional level. The chimp tends to not worry about consequences. The chimp will bid too high at an auction. The chimp will pay too much, and the chimp will con the professor into finding data to support a really bad decision. So take your time. The party under time duress or who's rushed in any way will always lose in a negotiation. Crunch your numbers and then add in extra buffers in this market. So if it was a 10% contingency, make it a 15% contingency because construction costs are moving, inflation is still there, trades are hard to come by. If you've allowed an extra extra month or two. Double that, make it 4 months or more, especially because we're coming into the Christmas period. It's going to be harder to get trades. There's going to be downtime. It'll be harder and longer to sell a property if you're a renovator or flipper, and you're hitting a moving target because you don't know where the market is moving to or what's happening with interest rates. In times of uncertainty like this, we really need to channel our inner professor. We have to run the numbers. We have to measure twice and cut once, and we have to be as certain as we can be. And certainty isn't attained by letting a naughty chimp run rampant based on emotions. So drain the swamp of all emotions and stick to logic, because this is a great market for buyers, but you have to make sure you're rational and considered in your approach, and that you run your numbers several times over and then be even more conservative. You can afford to be, because this is a perfect storm of a market for you, so long as you lean on your professor. If you're enjoying this podcast, we want to invite you to join the Property Lovers Facebook group. To find the group in Facebook, just search for Property Lovers. You'll see the group banner, which has the word Property Lovers Hub on it. It's a community for property lovers in Australia, and just like this podcast, it's been created to give you a competitive advantage so you can get superior results in property. Please come and join us today. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.